All right. Well, we got a long ways to go here and a little bit of less time to get there. So let me jump right in. We've been looking at this passage that Jesus told them, this parable. We've been talking about, you know, life-changing stories. Matthew 13:13, we've already seen this, why he spoke in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Let me tell you a story about that passage of scripture. Last week, you know, I mentioned to you about the steaks, the really expensive steaks. Well, after church was over, we were the next day out and about and everything, and I said to Arlene, I said, you know, honey, I'll cook supper. I said, I'm going to go by and get some of those steaks. So I went to the store, and I'm in line, okay? I'm up at the meat counter, and there's this lady in front of me in line, and she gets four of these steaks. And she turns around, and she says, oh, my goodness, Pastor John. I said, how are you? I recognized her from church here. And she said, I told my husband I'm going by Giant Eagle. I'm getting some of Pastor John's steaks. I have a steak now. This is awesome. So she got hers, and I went up, and they were all gone. You know, there was a whole tray there, but the tray was empty except for two little pieces. And I said, well, I guess I'll have those two little pieces. And so he gave them to me, and I left. And the next day or the next day after that one, I'd stop by to pick up something, and I ran into Janet Dollar that works there, and she asked me about the steaks, and she said that she had talked to the butcher, and the butcher said, oh my goodness, they're going like hotcakes. So who knows? You know, I guess you guys do listen. Somebody said to me before church, they said, we listen. I said, yeah, that's awesome. I don't know what to say today to motivate you, but I should come up with something, right? It's awesome when you are impacted and changed by the Word of God. Today's great story is about the rich man and Lazarus. And what I want us to hear today from God is an amazing thing. And the little video we showed at the beginning there, that's what I want to happen for you today. For you to have that aha moment, that moment where you are moved in your emotions because you are hearing from God. Now, folks, listen, looking out at you, I can't tell by looking at you how or if you're hearing from God. You know, for example, like my wife, if my wife is talking to one of our children, I know right away who she's talking to. Don't have to hear any of the conversation. If Arlene is actually talking to somebody on the phone, it's Kristen. If she's listening, it's Sarah. Are your kids like this? I mean, Sarah's is like, it's like, you know, if Arlene is going, it's Sarah, okay? If Arlene is going, well, sweetheart, in my opinion, I think that you, it's Kristen, okay? Because and looking at you, I can't tell which is going on with you, whether you are hearing from God or you're listening to God or if you're just somewhere else. But folks, this story about the rich man and Lazarus, it's amazing. Let me just ask you, what's it about? Is it about a rich man, a man that has everything? Is that what the story? Is it about a poor man that has nothing? You know, is it about the only biblical name for a dog? Did you know that? I actually heard this when I was just a little kid in Sunday school, where it says in this passage, it says, moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. Talking about the poor man, he was laying there, and he was poor, and he was sick, and he had sores on his body, and it says, moreover, the dog came and licked. And I had a Sunday school teacher that actually said, this is the only biblical name for a dog. I always wanted to name my dog Moreover. I did. Never did. Maybe I'll do that. What's this story about? Is it about the rich man? Is it just about the poor man? Is it about paradise? What that is? Where that is? What that looks like? You know, is it about the great chasm that Jesus describes there? This great gulf between those that are in Abraham's bosom and those that are in torment in this awful place? Is it about the fire and the torment? Is it about, what is it about? Is it about the warning? You know, that the rich man says, listen, send Lazarus back to my family and tell them to live their life right so they don't end up here. You know, or is it about the drop of water the rich man desires for Lazarus to come and to touch his tongue with a cool drop of water? What is this story all about? Listen, let me shock you. You know what this story's all about? The primary message of the rich man and Lazarus is all about money. It is. It's all about money. Now let me teach you and convince you that that's the case before we go any further. The entire chapter of Luke chapter 16 is all about money. Matter of fact, verse number one, and let me just read that first verse to you. Verse number one says, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and he said, what is that I hear about you? You see, verse number one teaches us there that what we have is both about enjoyment, but also about employment. You know, it's about stewards and how they use their wealth, and it's about people that manage and what they do with what God has given to them. It's all about that God gives us things for our own pleasure, but He also gives us things so that we can bless others. It's about enjoyment, but it's also about employment, what we do with what we've been given. Now, verse 2 through 9 in Luke 16 is all about an account. Because this manager that was not managing well is called before the owner, and the owner says, I want you to give an account for everything that you manage for me. Now, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I remember some years ago when I was first in ministry, and I was keeping a log of my miles so that, you know, you could take that off your taxes. And so every day I would write, you know, my beginning mileage and my ending mileage. And I still do this today, but back then I was, you know, you're doing it. And I got to the point where I got kind of lazy about it. And all of a sudden I was asked to give an account for all of this by the IRS. Yeah, I was scared to death. I just scared to death. And I said, honey, get ready. You're raising the kids by yourself. I'm going to jail. You know, I looked in my book. I hadn't written anything down for like weeks and months. You know, and, you know, I thought about I could go and buy like 12 different colors of pens and try to, you know, mark this stuff, you know, make it up or whatever. Now, anyway, it worked out fine. But I remember being scared to death when all of a sudden somebody said, I want you to give an account for all of this. Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, listen, folks, God says that that's exactly what will happen to us about what God has given us, what God has blessed us with in life. And this man and we're going to have a rude awakening. He had to give an account of his stewardship. And then he learned something valuable from it. He learned how to be wise, and he learned how to invest, and he learned how to prepare. And if you read the rest of this story, I don't have time to go into all of it. But he did some things, and his master even came back and called him shrewd, a shrewd investor. But we're going to give an account. Luke 16, verse 10 through 18. It's how God tells us in verse number 13, no servant can serve two masters. He says in verse number 10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. It's all about money. It's all about what we have and who is our master and who is our God. Now, Luke 16, verse 19 through 31 is all about how money can't be our God. Now, that's actually the text of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know the story, right? He starts out in that first verse in the parable of describing two different people. That there's a rich man who has everything, who can do anything, and that there's a poor man who has nothing. And not only is he poor, but he doesn't even have his health. And you have the rich man who has a big house, you know, drives a big camel or whatever they drove then. And then you got this other guy that had nothing. Now, let me ask you this. Who do you want to be? Which one do you want to be in this story? Because guess what? The rich man goes to Hades, goes to torment. The poor man ends up in paradise, ends up in Abraham's bosom. Which one do you want to be? Now, the story continues, and you can read it there. It says that both of them died. The poor man died. He was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And by the way, you know, the lesson there is that death, no one will escape it. You can have all the money in the world, still going to die. It says, verse 23, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes. He saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. You see, folks, when you read this story and when you understand the context is all about money, it's all about stewardship, it's all about what is your God and what you do with what God has blessed you with, then there's some obvious applications from this story that jumps off the page at me for our lives. Let me share them with you. Number one, application number one is simply this. Never forget that there's two rich men in this story. Did you notice that? You have the rich man, you have Lazarus who desires to eat the crumbs from the rich man's table. It says that they both died, but there's two rich men here. Did you notice the other one? The other rich man is Abraham. Abraham's bosom. The angels take the poor man and they place him in the beautiful protective arms of God in Abraham's bosom. And you think about that, Abraham was a rich man. Matter of fact, if you go back to the Old Testament and read about when God called Abraham, when he was in Ur, he was the richest of the rich men. He had everything. He had livestock. He had houses. He had servants. He had a huge family. And he had it all. But he ends up in the presence of God. And the other rich man ends up in torment. Therefore, the application is that it's not the riches that sent this man to Hades. And I say to you and to me here this morning, it is not what we have that sends us to this awful place. But what happens is that it becomes a problem when that is what we worship. The rich man did not go to Hades because he was rich. He went there because his riches were his God. Abraham was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. And yet he was in paradise. Money can help send people to heaven or money can help send people to hell. But it's all about what we do with that. Here's the second application. Second application is a quote. The quote is, money is a wonderful servant, a terrible master, and an abominable God. You know, I tried to actually find who that was attributed to, and I couldn't find it because I wanted to actually quote somebody on that. So just in the spirit of the day, I would like to quote my good friend Scott Manganiello from Precious Life, who has always said, money is a wonderful servant, a terrible master, but it's an abominable God. Think about that, folks. There is no truer statement about stewardship. Money is a wonderful servant. You think about that. Scott just shared with us what they were doing with gifts that had been given to him. I mean, all of us here at First Church, we know what a wonderful blessing being a part of mission work is. Our mission giving out of our budget this year is $100,000. That's awesome. You know, I was thinking last week or a couple weeks ago when we had our Compassion Sunday, and Keith said, you know, that we had brought about like 30 some additional Compassion children, and I did the math. Did you know that First Church actually sends to Compassion International over $12,000 a month? That's over and above that $100,000 that we give out of our budget. I mean, Scott this morning said that, you know, we had $5,000 or $6,000 in baby bottles. You know, I asked him, I said, Scott, did anybody come back and talk to you at the table? And oh, yeah, and some people gave him some money to help offset this. And some of you, I'm sure, are going to do that as well after we finish this morning. Money is a wonderful servant. God can use our generosity to do incredible things, both here and all around the world. But even as that is true, it's a terrible master. Have you ever known anybody, or have you ever been this kind of person that you have everything or anything that you want or need, but you're just stingy, or you're just selfish, or you just think, you know what, this is mine, it's not yours. You know, folks, there is nothing more beautiful than a generous heart, but there is nothing more ugly than a stingy spirit. And while it is true that money is a wonderful master, it is also true that it is a wonderful servant, it is also true that it's a terrible master, but it's worse when it gets to the point that it is your God. And you see, that was the difference between the rich men in this story. The difference between the rich men in this story was that the rich man that was in turmoil worshiped what he had, was stingy with what he had, was selfish with everything that he had, and Abraham was just the opposite. Abraham was willing to give it all up to follow God as his God. Okay, let me give you one more. Here's the third application. And it's by way of a question. You know, how do we measure? How do we measure what we have and the importance of what we have? You see, a lot of people measure by what they get, what they accumulate, what they have, what they aspire to obtain in life. But there are those few souls in life that measure life not by what they get, but by what they give. And let me tell you something, folks. The giving is where the blessing is. You know, I love to tell the story, and he's been gone so long now that I can tell these kinds of things freely. But I remember Ernie Wissinger, and many of you that are from this community will know Ernie Wissinger. Owned a grocery store chain here for a long, long time. Ernie attended this church. Ernie was very, very generous with this congregation. You know, he just did so much. He helped so many people. You know, this piano, there's a card on there that says that piano was given in memory of his dear wife. And, you know, here's what I remember about Ernie. Ernie gave everything he had away before he died. That's true. I don't know if you know that or not. That's true. I know that to be true, that he literally just, instead of accumulating everything that he could in life, and after he's gone, somebody divvies that up to those that are deserving, he had a different view in life, and he just gave it away. He was just so generous in life. And I remember many years ago, something going on here, and we needed some money for something, and you know, Ernie called and said, I'm going to help you with that, and I got a call from somebody in Ernie's family, and they said, you know, be kind of careful because, you know, Dad doesn't have nearly what he used to have. You know why? Because he in generosity, had given it away. It is a beautiful thing that if we live life not measuring by what we get, but by what we give. Now, with that in mind, let me kind of go down the home stretch here. What you have is growing into something. What is it growing into? I mean, everything that you have in life, everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you have accumulated, everything that you are accumulating, everything that you're getting, everything that you're saving, everything that's coming into your life is growing into something. And I just ask you, what is it growing into? Are you amassing money and wealth and stuff just for you? Or are you saving and using what God has blessed you with to bless other people? You see, folks, I think that's the central message of what Jesus is trying to get across in this particular chapter and in this particular story. We can waste money, or we can serve God with money. We can't serve both God and money. And we can't allow money and possessions to be our God. But what we have is growing into something, and I think it's just an appropriate question to ask, what is it growing into? Because here, this is kind of funny, but this is so true. What would you do if you won the lottery? You know, what would you do if you just had a box given to you and it was just full of money? What would you do with it? You know, what would you do if you knew what the winning lottery number tickets were going to be? And I'm sure you're like me. We're no different. I've thought things like, you know what, if I was to run into that kind of money, if I was to win that kind of money, if I was to inherit that kind of money, I would just give it away. I'd give it away. I would use it to bless lots of people, lots of ministries. I would just give it away. And then God's on my shoulder, and God says, really? Was that what you'd do? You know, back when we were building this building, I had a number of people, and they all mean well, they really do. You say, you know, Pastor John, if I could, I would just pay for that building. I had one person even say, you know what, if I won the lottery, you wouldn't have to worry about a mortgage. I would just pay for that building. I was like, God bless you. But you know what, folks? God is not asking us to give an account for what we don't have. God does not ask for us to understand stewardship based on what we wish we had or what we hope we will have or what we might win. God wants to know about what we have right now. Think about it. Everybody in chapter 16 of this passage, it's all about what they had right now. You got the steward that's called by the owner, and he says, I want you to give an account for what I've entrusted to you. And it scared him to death. You got the rich man that has everything, but doesn't have the one thing that matters the most. You got the poor man that's just desiring crumbs from the rich man's table, but yet he gets the one thing that nobody else realizes is the only thing that matters. I mean, everybody in this story, it's all about what they have and what they're doing with what they have and how that impacts their today and ultimately their destiny. So you and I have to answer this question of what we would do. Not with what we might have, but with what we do have. You know, I love this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16. And let me give you just the first part of this verse. It says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to. Now stop right there. Think about this. Because I'm about to give you a truth that will change your life. This is the part of the story that will be a life-changing story if you understand the rest of this verse. Now don't peek. Eyes on me. Because this is so important. Because God wants to tell us how we should look at what we have and what we will have. And he says, I tell you, use worldly wealth too. Here's what he says. To gain friends for yourself. So that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. I want you to use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. So that when it's gone, now when's it gone? Well, either when you squander it, lose it, spend it, or you die. But when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now here's the thing, folks. The rich man in this story desired to be where the poor man was. And I think that this passage, what Jesus is saying is he wants us to use worldly wealth to gain friends, to do life, to influence other people, to help other people in such a way that when this life is over, I get heaven and they do too. That's it in a nutshell. So if that's what you're using the things that you have in life for, then God is pleased. But if it's something less than that, then God needs to work on us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that as we sing this wonderful song together, this awesome word about being overwhelmed by your goodness and by your grace and mercy, that God, we would be changed. changed from the inside out. God, I dare say that none of us are in the position of the poor man that's in this story. But Lord, many of us have the same attitude as the rich man, even if we don't have his wealth. So God, may we know that it's not the wealth that sends us to eternal damnation, but it's when we make those things our God and serve them above you. So God, convict us of that sin this morning and help us, Lord, to make the commitments that we need to make to live a different kind of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.